chapter 1, verse 1. What is the book of Revelation? Go ahead, Chris, with our first slide. I've got some slides for you today. Are you like me, and does your mind wander at all? Any my ADHD friends out there? Yeah, this is hard for me to sort of focus, so I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to put a number of slides up today, and hopefully that will help us all. Well, what is the book of Revelation? It is Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, that the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ to know more about him and his purpose, which God gave him, Jesus, to show his servants, that's you, things which must shortly take place. And more specifically, go ahead, Chris, it is mostly about the 70th week of the book of Daniel, chapter 9. We'll go into that a little bit today. Most of the book of Revelation, especially chapters 6 through 18, have to do with the 70th week of Daniel chapter 9. Let me show you where context is. All right, here we go. It is slide time. Go. Here is Steve's grasp of all of eternity. You're welcome. In front of eternity past, it's in front of Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In my estimation, if Einstein was onto something, and I believe he was, that a certain velocity and energy level, all matter ceases to be physical matter and actually becomes energy. That's why nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, theoretically. I believe that before Genesis 1, verse 1, God in his multidimensional lifestyle with the angels was cruising along, and God had an idea. I'm going to explore that a little bit. What's the idea? Let me slow some of that energy down into the form of molecules and stars, earth, light, and ultimately people. That's Genesis 1:1. Before that, there's just not a lot of information. Go. Then if you notice, about 2,000 years from Adam, the first man, to Abraham is about 2,000 years. Wait a minute, Pastor Steve. Are you telling me the planet Earth is not 4.5 billion years old? No, it is not. And before you want to throw your books at me, hit the go button, Chris. Give this guy a listen, maybe. We studied that in some detail a while ago, and if you want to look that up on YouTube, it's called, you can look up YouTube and then put in the search bar, Steve Hadley, Evidence of a Young Earth Part 2, and in about an hour or so, I will show you several reasons why it is not even possible that planet Earth is more than 100,000, more than tens of thousands of years. It simply cannot be. So if that's interesting to you, you science geeks and freaks, you might get a kick out of that. Hit our go button again. Let's get back. So 2,000 years between Adam and Abraham, go. And then about 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus. So there was those 4,000 years. And then what happens next, go. 2,000 years ago to us, Jesus ministered. He said a number of things, and he demonstrated a number of miracles and supernatural efficacy. I found that word this morning on a word for today, so I checked that out. So about 6,000 years ago to us is when all this happened. But notice that the church age there is in green. When Jesus dies, he is resurrected, and then he ascends into heaven. What did he do? From the Mount of Olives, he went up and then joined that multidimensional system where God lives currently. To us on the earth in a four dimensions of height, width, depth, and space-time or linear time, we don't see him. But he is still with us now in the form of the Holy Spirit, and that is in his multidimensional capacity, if you will, outside of the timeline. So what he does a time or two in the Old Testament is he inserts himself back into the timeline, and that's why Joshua sees Jesus outside of the city of Jericho. And that's how Jacob wrestled with God, because God the Father, we have one God with three different uniforms. God the Father, he zipped up a human suit and became the flesh, that's Jesus. And now he is in that multidimensional system, reinserting himself in the timeline. Sometimes in a physical fashion where Jacob wrestles with him, and sometimes it's in a system that you just hear him speaking to your heart. It's been said, you receive the Lord Jesus and Jesus lives in your heart, and I love that visual imagery. But ever the scientific sort of thinking it through, I wonder if that's Jesus' voice sort of visiting me in my timeline, past, present, and future, whispering to my heart. Don't know, but for me that's interesting. So what happens is, the church age, Jesus then ascends in his resurrected body into the multidimensional time, space-time, where God lives. And 2,000 years ago to us, that's when the church happened. You'll see there that I've said this is Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3. Well, what happens next? Well, the church age has a finite period of time. The Bible says that when the fullness of the Gentiles, it's Romans chapter 12, when the fullness of the church, my first pastor, Pastor Bert Smith, used to say, it's kind of like a great big tote board in heaven. And there's 5 kajillion, something, 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 33. And when you receive the Lord, ka-chunk, 34. And when the last person bows their head and their heart to the Lord, it clunks over. That's the number in the heart of the Father that the church is finished and fully completed. And that's when he says to Jesus, go get your bride. That's the rapture. Hit the go button. That's what's next on the prophetic horizon. Now, this is very important in understanding the book of Revelation. Why? Let me show you. Revelation chapters 4 and 5, that is your rapture. How many of you would love to see a videotape of the rapture, Jesus calling his church home? You who are alive and remain, boo, caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. Turns out, chapter 4, the book of Revelation, is a videotape of the rapture. I'll show you why. Then John walks around chapter 5, golly. He sees the scroll with 7 seals, and then that's going to begin, go, the 7-year period that we call the Great Tribulation. It is 7 years long, and I'll show you why. That is Revelation chapters 6 through 18. When those 7 years are completed, something else beautiful happens. Go ahead. Jesus comes down to the earth, and you and I are with him. That's Revelation chapter 19. You want to see yourself in the Bible? Check it out. When we who are alive and remain got our new bodies and we went up in the rapture, we hung out with Jesus for what would be upon the earth, 7-year period. When we come back, Revelation 19, woohoo, we're with him. All right. So then what happens is, that's the Valley of Armageddon, that Jesus has to stop that battle, lest there should be no flesh left on the earth. We'll go into that. So that's what happens. Well, then what happens is, that's when he separates the sheep from the goats, and beginning next is going to be the go. It's going to be the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. There's my little crown, and Jesus is doing the driving. Jesus is on the planet. The resurrected Jesus is on the planet, and Lucifer and all of his fallen angels are incarcerated for 1,000 years. That's all talked about in Revelation chapter 20 that we'll go into. So 1,000 years after that, Lucifer is let out one more time. And you'd think, with planet Earth restored to its Eden-like condition, Jesus living on the planet, surely Lucifer won't get any traction. Bible says, you know how many join his team? More than the sands of the sea. So anyway, they're about ready to encircle Jerusalem, and then that's when the Father blows the whistle. Everybody out of the pool. Go. That is Judgment Day. And the current heaven and earth are changed radically with an intense heat. And then in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, there's your new Jerusalem. So there's kind of a layout quickly of how the Bible is laid out. Now, I want you to notice something. The Bible is full of patterns. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little lost in sort of the written word, do this and don't do that and go here. Sometimes I get a little lost. How many of you are glad that God put lots of models in the Bible? I respond to that. If you've ever been reading for the first time through the book of Genesis, and God worked how many days? 6. And what did he do on the 7th? He rested. And I thought, wow, so God gets tired? What's the answer? No. God is omnipotent, meaning omnipotent. Meaning, when he gives away power, he never loses power. God does not grow weary, nor does he slumber or sleep. Well, then what's with the rest of the 7th day about? It's not for him. It's a pattern. Hey, humans, work your 6 days, but what are you supposed to do on day 7? Rest with family and with him. Are you hearing me, you type A personalities out there? You got to let it go and focus on him, your bride, your groom, your family, your kids. Rest on that 7th. But also, have you noticed that in the scriptures, there's lots of 6s followed by a 7th of rest? Book of Peter tells us, with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is but a day. Put your Jesus glasses on. How many thousands of years has Adam to current? How many years have we been toiling? 6,000 years. Do you see why the 7th millennia is a millennia of rest? It's right there, a pattern in the Bible. Hit the go button, Chris. Take everything else away. Right there is your great tribulation. It is 7 years long. I'll show you why. Go. Why? Because most of the book of Revelation is explaining the 70th week of Daniel chapter 9. All right. Let's go ahead and go there. We're done in the book of Revelation just now. Go to your Old Testament book of Daniel. Let me show you this. Daniel chapter 9. I have found that people who get their eschatology, or the study of end times matters, when they get it goofed up, it's because they do not understand Daniel chapter 9. How many of you love to do puzzles? You know, you get them home, 500-piece puzzles, you pour it out there on your thing, you get your coffee, and there's your pile of puzzle pieces. 500 pieces. What are the first 4 pieces you always go for? The corners. Why? Because the corners establish the boundaries. And then you find every piece that has a straight edge to it, and then you fill in the frame. Is it just me? Am I that, what do they call it? OCD? But do you understand, if you want to get your framework right, that's where everything has to fit within. Daniel chapter 9 is the framework of all Bible prophecy. And I want you to notice something. It has to do, Daniel 9, with whom? Israel. Daniel chapter 9, please. Verse 24. The Jews have been in exile for 70 years. 70 years are up. Daniel has been reading his book of Jeremiah, and he knows that 70 years is done. What's going to happen, Lord? And a number of things do, but now focus in on verse 24. What is going to happen now to Israel? Verse 24. 70 weeks. Hit our go button, Chris. This is the framework of your puzzle. 70 weeks. And that word for weeks is Shabuah, and it means sevens. But it turns out this is going to be 70 weeks of years. What's the math on that? 490 years. Is everybody all right? Here's what's going to happen. You want to know what's going to happen to Israel, Daniel? I'm going to tell you. Here are your 4 corner pieces. Here we go. 70 weeks total are determined for your people. Who are Daniel's people? Israel. This is very important. We are now approximately 450 or so BC, almost 500 BC. Is the church 4 centuries away? Yes. Your people has nothing to do with the church. Nothing to do with the church, because the church isn't even born yet. The book of Acts is 4.5 centuries away. Are you seeing this? 70 weeks or 490 years are determined for your people, Israel. and for your holy city. What's Israel's holy city? Three guesses. It's Jerusalem. It's not New York. It's not Sparks, nor is it Gabs, Nevada. You ever been to Gabs? Pretty cool. To finish the transgression, has Israel been responsible for a number of sins against God? Yeah. Which one is in the heart of the Father? That by the time these 70 weeks are finished, he's going to fix it. I'll tell you what the transgression is. It's rejecting Messiah on Palm Sunday. Wait a minute, Steve, you said the church is... I know. Did God know that on Palm Sunday, when Jesus was on the donkey, on the Mount of Olives, on the day that Daniel said he was going to be there, and they rejected him? Did God know that was coming? He did. That's the transgression. We're going to finish or complete, and we're going to fix what you Israel did in rejecting the Messiah. To make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. When we get to Daniel chapter 9 on our Wednesday night, we'll go into all these in great detail. To bring in everlasting righteousness, that's the millennial reign of Jesus, and to seal up, or really to finish, prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Who is that? That is Jesus in the millennial reign. Keep cruising. Now we're 25. Know therefore and understand. Hey, Harvest, we can get this. That from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Where is Daniel at this writing currently? He is in Babylon. He knows that God is going to bring the Jews back home to Jerusalem. 70 years in front of that, young Daniel likely saw Solomon's temple burning to ashes 70 plus years ago. So there's going to be a decree to go back home and to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Let me break it down this way. Go ahead, Chris. This is how it breaks down. Now, you're thinking, why is this so complicated? It's not complicated if you understand what he's trying to do. Please notice that you have 7 weeks plus 62 for a total of what? 69 weeks. We're going to find out in outside history, it's going to take him about 49 years to build the temple. And then 62 weeks, a number of things happen. So you're going to have 69 weeks. Why? Now watch this. There shall be 7 weeks, you see it, and 62. What is that a total? 69. Now during that time, by the way, the street shall be built again and the wall, but in troublesome times. Write in your margin, see Nehemiah. That's where that story unfolds. So God knew that was coming. Verse 26 now. Now, after the 62, really, the 69th, so you get your 7 plus your 62. So after that 62, really the 69th year, Messiah is going to be cut off. That's a Hebrew word, karet, and it means killed for a capital offense. After the 69th week, Messiah is going to be killed. Cool. Well, not cool, but really. But not for himself, meaning he was killed for a crime that he did not commit. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD? The Romans did. So this is one of the peeks into the origin story of the Antichrist, the human who will one day be demon-possessed by Lucifer himself. He's going to have to come from the old Roman Empire. That's one of the hints. Keep cruising. And the end of it shall be with a flood. At that 69th week, Messiah is going to be killed, and the flood is the Hebrew word for pouring out. 70 AD, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. And what did they do to every Jew that they could find? They killed them. And those who were able to survive fled. And from 70 AD until 1948, Jews were scattered throughout all the planet. Have you ever noticed that when a terrible political despot comes to the fore, and for whatever reason, he wields enough power that can't nobody tell him nothing, and he has the power to, with a pen, kill and murder millions, have you noticed what do all those cuckoos always go after? The Jewish people. Do you know what I'm talking about? The most recent would be the 6 million Jews who were killed by Nazi Germany. Yes, Adolf Hitler was demon-possessed, likely by Lucifer himself, because Lucifer at that time thought for sure, this is the book of Revelation and I get to take over. But there was one very important missing ingredient from Hitler's plan, really Lucifer's plan, and that was in 1939 and following, there was no nation of Israel. And all of Bible prophecy, especially end times Bible prophecy, has to do with Israel. But you know that when the world found out 6 million Jews had been systematically murdered, there was a window of opportunity and a window of sympathy that the world said the only place the Jewish person will be safe is in his own land. And much because of Truman's political power and clout, in one day, May 14th, 1948, what nation was birthed in a day? Israel was. I believe that Lucifer, through Adolf Hitler, thought that that was the book of Revelation. God, psych, no, because there was no nation of Israel. But God would use that horrific World War II to open up what I believe one of the most important signposts of end times Bible prophecy. Israel becomes a nation in one day. Oh, by the way, did you know that that was prophesied in the book of Isaiah? Well, let's keep reading. And end shall come with the flood, 70 AD, the Jews are scattered. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he, verse 27, referring back to the last noun, the prince of the people who is to come, that's your Antichrist, he, the Antichrist, will confirm, really, he will enforce a covenant with the many, that's Israel, for, say with me, 1 week. Do you see that? 69 weeks, and there's going to be a break. And the last week is 1 week. Go. That 1 week, Daniel's 70th week, is the book of Revelation. That's why it's 7 years in length, and that is why the church will not be in the Great Tribulation. Don't write me. Don't write me. Please do your own homework. This is for your people, these 70 weeks. Who is Daniel's people? Israel. Your holy city. Who is Israel's holy city? Jerusalem. And the church is not even, well, the church is 4.5 centuries away. Please notice that Daniel's 70-week prophecy has to do with Israel. What about that middle part? Let's keep reading. And he, the Antichrist, will confirm, really enforce, a covenant with the many Israel for 1 week, the 70th week of Daniel, the book of Revelation. But in the middle of that week, he's going to bring an end to the sacrifice and the offerings. There's a hint that the Antichrist is going to get Israel her third temple. First temple was destroyed. Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Second temple, Herod's temple, was destroyed by the Romans. There's a third temple coming, and it's going to be because of the Antichrist. And Israel is going to be so overwhelmed by that, they believe that that guy is going to be their Messiah. Whew, a swing and a miss. No, but here's what happens. In that last week, in the middle, 3.5 years in, he's going to put an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations in this temple that he saw get built, shall be one who makes desolate. He is going to put a statue of himself, the Antichrist, in the Holy of Holies and say, now for the first 3.5 years, I let you worship your God. Not anymore. Everyone will worship me. And that's when the Jews at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation go, ding, that's not our Messiah. And the Bible says that the blindness in part which came on to Israel when they rejected Jesus on Palm Sunday, that's when it went on, it comes off at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. And we're going to go into all of that. And as a nation, all of Israel is going to see that Jesus is her true Messiah. That's when the Antichrist goes after all the Jews he can. And the book of Zechariah describes that 2/3 of all the Jews are going to be killed, because now this Antichrist, the human, who is now indwelt by Lucifer himself, is not no more subterfuge. He is saying, you worship me and I'm going to kill every Jew I can. And if you're a Jewish person, you're not in the rock city of Petra, he's going to probably get you. All right. So that said, now let's go over this. Let me show you. Well, what's happening there in the middle? Go. That is the church age. That's where we are now. This is a very parenthetical era and age. This stopwatch has 70 weeks of years on it. Click. It begins when there is a decree. And that decree is well known in history. It is decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus. You can read about that in the book of Ezra. It's all there. That came down in our calendar, March 14th, 445 BC. So we'll start counting. 69 weeks or 483 years until Messiah is rejected. We've done a great study on this. Do you know that if you add 173,880 days to March 14th, 445 BC, you know what day you come up with? Go. Palm Sunday, April the 6th, 32 AD. The stopwatch stops just like Daniel 9 said it would. What happened when Jesus is rejected on Palm Sunday? Within a few days, he is dead on a cross. How many weeks total? 70. 69 are right there. How many weeks are left? 1 week. Go. Well, when will the last week begin? It begins sometime after the rapture, because the church age ends, the fullness of the Gentile, the tote board clicks over, and God says, I'm going to take the church out. And then God returns to an Old Testament economy of witnesses. The first ones to show up are 2 witnesses there in Jerusalem. 3.5 years, nobody can touch them. At the end of that 1,260 days in Jerusalem, and they're teaching, they're giving Bible studies, and everybody's got their iPhone, and they're recording it, and those recordings are going all over the planet. And they take everybody through the Bible, Old and New Testament, and tell everybody on the planet who missed the rapture, it's not too late, you can still get saved. The church in that economy is over, but you can still get saved by calling upon Jesus' finished work on the cross. And nobody can kill him until the 1,260 days, 3.5 years, are done. Then God allows them to be killed. And fascinating, fascinating technology statement, the book of Revelation says, the whole world sees their dead bodies. Was that possible before satellite telecommunications? That was a technology statement. 3 days their bodies lay, and then God raises them up, and then they ascend right out of sight. That's at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. Now God says, I want 12,000, each from the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm going to fill them with my spirit, and they're going to be amazing evangelists. I'm going to supernaturally protect them from all of the stuff hitting planet Earth at that time. And for the last 3.5 years, 144,000 evangelists are spread out through the world teaching the gospel while all of these judgments are happening. It's not happening in a vacuum. Oh, and by the way, the Bible says there is an angel flying around the sky with some kind of a great big loudspeaker. Everybody on the planet through the 7-year Great Tribulation will have a witness. So when does it begin? Go. The 70th week of Daniel begins when the Antichrist enforces, or they ink the contract. How long did Daniel 9 say the contract peace was going to last for? For how many years? Seven. The last week, the 70th week of Daniel. And that's going to end when? Go. The Valley of Armageddon. Jesus returns to the planet. Revelation 19. That is Daniel chapter 9, and that is the four corner pieces of all end times Bible prophecy. If you don't get that one right, you're going to go astray. Hit our go button. The church age. That is where we are right now. How long does it last? Go. Good question. A very important question. So what is the book of Revelation go? It is mostly the 70th week of Daniel chapter 9. Next question go. When is the book of Revelation? You want to see? I'll show you. Would you join me please in the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Jesus is going to tell us when this is going to happen. Luke chapter 4, please. Gospel of Luke. Look down there to verse number 16. This is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. He has just come from his baptism. A lot of powerful things happened there. He came out of the water and the Holy Spirit manifested. That is the Shekinah glory that hadn't been in Israel for quite some time, and it landed on him. And everybody heard a voice from heaven. Remember, that's before boomboxes and stereo systems. And what did the voice say? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Everybody heard it. And that's not a proud papa. That is God saying he's a fulfillment of Isaiah. He's the voice. John the Baptist was a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And there is my son, the Mashiach, Nagi, the prince who is to come, Daniel chapter 9. So he's fresh off of that now. And now he's going to begin his ministry. Look where he starts. He starts in Nazareth. We're in verse 16. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, Saturday to us, and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Fascinating. We're going to see here in a minute. Guess where they were reading at? They were reading in the book of Isaiah, interestingly enough, chapter 61. Because remember, it's on a long scroll. You didn't just get there easily. You walked in and they had it probably unrolled from the day before and now a little bit more for today. And it happens to be in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 4. So he reads it. Isaiah 700 BC, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Everybody knew that that was referring to Messiah. When's Messiah going to be here? I don't know. We've been waiting. Weeks ago, out in the Jordan River, about a day's walk from Jerusalem, and even probably closer to Nazareth, everybody had seen his baptism and the Shekinah land on him and heard the voice from God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Messiah, because he, the Lord, has anointed me, Messiah, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind. All of these will be the ministry of Jesus. He's reading on. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, how many of you have a period there and then a close quote? So he then stopped reading. Circle your period right there and write Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2. We're done here in Luke. Go back to Isaiah 61. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Isaiah, please. You go to Psalms and Proverbs and you hang a right. Isaiah 61, let's actually look at what he was reading. Isaiah chapter 61. All right, here it is. Isaiah 61, verse 1. This is what Jesus was reading. The Spirit of the Lord of God, the Lord, the Father, has come upon me, Messiah, Adonai, Because the Lord, notice capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah, has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord. What's your next punctuation mark? A comma. Jesus stopped here. But the verse continues, and the day of vengeance of our God. That's your book of Revelation. We have been living in the comma. What are you talking about? Let me show you another section here. Join me in the book of Matthew. Go back to the New Testament. And now this this parable hopefully will make more sense. We're going to go to Matthew now, chapter 21, please. Jesus, after he is rejected, he's got about 4 days left before he is crucified. He's traveling back and forth from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. Jesus knows he has just a few days. He's been rejected as Messiah on Palm Sunday. You in Matthew chapter 21, look at verse 33. Matthew 21, verse 33. Hear another parable, he says. He's in Jerusalem. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard. Vineyard is always a model of Israel. And set a hedge about it, dug a wine press. You got to put a hedge around it because you don't want the animals or people stealing your grapes. So he dug a wine press in it, and he built a tower. That's to keep an eye on it. And he leased it to some vine dressers and then went on a far country. And the Pharisees and Sadducees are going, okay, all right. Verse 34. Now, when the vintage time or the harvest time drew near, he, this landowner, sent his servants to the hirelings of the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. Okay, boys, I hired you to watch out for it, but I'm the owner. Time for some fruit. Verse 35. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. And then finally, last of all, he, the landowner, sent his son to them, these wicked vine dressers, saying, surely they will respect my son. Verse 38. But when the vine dressers saw the son and said amongst themselves, hey, this is the heir. We kill this guy. We get the vineyard. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. Verse 39, so they took him, cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Hey, boys, Pharisees and Sadducees listening to the story. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? Verse 41, they said, well, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to another vine dresser or other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in its season. They're going to do the right thing that they should do that the first boys didn't. And Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That's Psalm 118. It's prophetic of Messiah. Messiah is going to get thrown away. But when he comes back, he's going to be the chief cornerstone. Verse 43, therefore I say to you, now watch this. Therefore I say to you, and you can write Jews or Jewish leaders really. Therefore I say to you, Israel or Jewish leaders, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation, that's an idea of Gentiles, bearing fruit. That is the church. What is Jesus saying? Did Jesus know about the church age in between years 69 and 70? Yes. And why is he giving it over to the church? Because the original vine dressers were the Jewish teachers and leaders, and they missed Jesus' triumphal entry on Palm Sunday and taught everybody that he was a big boogerhead. Jesus says, there's no more that I can do to show you because you all are going to kill the Son. So what's going to happen is God is going to set Israel aside. Is he done with Israel? No. In the words of the Apostle Paul, no, heaven forbid. But they are set aside with 1 week left on the ticker. Do you see that? So when does this happen? Go after the church age is complete, when the church is done, the fullness of the Gentile. Go real quickly to remind us, remember how it worked? 2,000 years of the church. The church is taken in the rapture, and now God's prophetic attention goes back to the nation of Israel. Why? Go, the great tribulation. The great tribulation, go, Jesus returns, Revelation 19. Go, then the millennial reign. Hit the go button again. Let's take all of that away. So now I believe that to say that Jesus Christ is going to return to bring his church out, that the church age and the fullness of the Gentiles complete, was premature. And I'm going to list for you 8 quickly. Here we go. Number 1. The first one is Israel had to be in the land. Has Israel been in the land as of late? Go, yeah. May 14th, 1948, Israel becomes a nation again. That day is one of the most staggering fulfillment of God's prophecy that there has ever, ever been. There it is, May 14th. That is Ben-Gurion to the left, Israel's first prime minister. To the right, that is Moshe Sherlock. He was the foreign minister at the time. So is there an Israel on the planet right now? Check. Go. Let's go back. Hit our go button. Number 2. Weapons of mass destruction. Jesus said, if I didn't come back, Revelation 19, and stop the humans, they would annihilate themselves and all flesh on the earth. If I didn't come back and stop World War III, said Jesus, there should be no flesh left on the earth. Do you see that that is also a technology statement? When he said it 2,000 years ago to us, could the people, could the humans destroy the planet with bows and arrows? Can we now? Yes, go. I believe it was premature to say Jesus was returning before these things. Number 3, satellite telecommunication. As I said, the whole world has to see those two witnesses in Jerusalem. But also worldwide satellite telecommunication does something else. Go. It also facilitates this, internet sexual perversion and evil continually. Did you know that Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be right before I come back. And one of the most profound details of that was that every man did evil continually. In my personal opinion, because of the internet, especially sexual perversion, I believe that evil is just a tap away. And way too many people are seeing awful, terrible things every single day. Could it be a description that, especially if you're not a believer, that humans can occupy their brain via the internet with evil continually? Go. Internet also does this, global banking and monitoring system. It is absolutely fascinating that I can take my card from Sparks and go to Italy. And then I need a little cash. This actually happened to me when I went to my daughter's wedding a couple years ago. Moseyed into a little mom and pop store in Italy. And I would like some peanuts and what they have in the form of Gatorade. And I pulled out my bank card and it paid for it. It took money that I had put in a bank in Reno, Nevada, and all the way across the planet, it knew who I was. Technology statement, Revelation 13, the Antichrist, if you don't take his mark, he'll turn off your money. And when that was actually said, was that even a possibility? No. Is it a possibility now? Go. Number 6, Rome rises again. Don't have time to go into it, but it's quite fascinating. Who defeated the Romans? Answer, technically nobody. They began to be so powerful, and then they sort of fell from within and more or less dissipated. The eastern leg of the Roman Empire, the Byzantines, lasted for 1,000 years. Who defeated the Romans? Technically speaking, nobody did. Daniel says Rome is going to rise and then dissipate, but Rome will rise again. And it is that Rome B that Antichrist is going to animate and make that his nation. Really? Let me show you something. Go ahead. Well, who is Rome? There's the Roman Empire, circa 140 or so AD. Pretty amazing. There's all the designations. Go. Did you know that starting in 1948, the European Union got its beginnings? Hey, I thought Israel got its beginnings in 1948. Yeah. You know what else got its beginnings? The European Union. Started with the steel and the coal and went on. And now after they got tatered, Europe got tatered in World War II, it occurred to the leaders, we got run over by the Nazis because we couldn't get our act together. We had all these countries that we couldn't act as one. So they began to put together the mechanisms of what has now become a United States of Europe. And if you put a map of that, hit the up arrow, have you noticed that that is very similar to the Roman Empire? Hit the down arrow. I believe that that is the beginning of what is going to be the Antichrist power base. Go. This is a poster from the mid-1990s about this European Union. And the building that you see, the thing is Europe, many tongues, one voice. And this is when the heyday of the European Union was really getting started. You know that they have a Capitol building? They do. It's in Brussels, Belgium. There's a Washington, D.C. of the European Union. As you know, they have one currency now. They have one parliament. They have a national anthem, Ode to Joy, Beethoven. The mechanism for a political structure to be taken in reins and hands by one person is now in place. But what's striking about this particular poster, the European Union, look at that building. That is a building by the artist Peter Bruegel in the 1500s, and that was a famous picture of the Tower of Babel. Babel, Babylon. The Bible really is the tale of two cities, Jerusalem, God's city, and the anti-city, Babylon. And so here was this poster. We're going to use the Tower of Babylon. Go. This is their building in Brussels. You are right to notice it bears a striking resemblance to the poster. The poster was a depiction, a famous depiction of the Tower of Babel. Right to its theoretically sort of unfinished parts. I'm going to read something to you. This is Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of abominations of the earth. If you go to the Washington, D.C., of the 27 nations of the European Union, and you walk more or less in that door, you come across this sculpture. Go. A woman riding a beast. Now, I know. Wait a minute. That's Europa. She was a girl. She was a babe chilling on the beach. And Zeus shows up in the form of a bull. Hey, baby, you want to go for a ride? By the way, gals, if Zeus ever shows up in the form of a bull, don't go with them. Yes, I know that is a kind of a depiction of Europa and the bull. But that is near the front doors of the Washington, D.C., of the European Union, I believe, Rome B. Already has a functioning parliament. And if somebody rolls into town with enough power, they can seize all of Europe in their grip. I believe that's what the Antichrist does. Church has been long gone, and now he is in control. Hit the go button. This depiction is also on their coin. That's the 2 euro. Hit the go button. So I believe that Rome has risen again, and I think it's ready to rock. And then number 7, go. I believe that the nations, including the nation of Turkey, is all lined up. These are the combatants in a very fateful war called the Battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39. They're in place. Go. The Bible says, who are the attacking people of Israel? That's Gog and Magog, the demon controlling Rosh to us. Who's Rosh? That is the linguistic forerunner of the Rus people. What do we know Rus people as today? And he is the chief prince of Rosh, Meshech. Is that the linguistic forerunner of Moscow? Could be. Tubal. Tublis is a Russian city strategic in the Caucasus Mountains. Also is Persia, but we know that is Iran. Ethiopia in those days was our Sudan, Ethiopia, and Somalia. Read that, Islamic East Africa. Libya, Islamic North Africa. Gomer, that is Belarus, Ukraine, and those countries east of the Black Sea. Have you been hearing something about the Russians and the Ukrainians in battle? You need to know that that is a portion of Bible prophecy of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal and Gomer in the news every night. And then Tagarma, that is Turkey, more specifically Georgia and Armenia. Go, who are those that are allied against them? Sheba and Dedan, that's Saudi Arabia. And the merchants of Tarshish, that's Great Britain. And her young lions. Can you think of a people that came out of Great Britain? Yes. That's in your Bible. We'll go into that in great detail. Go. And then finally, go ahead. Number 8, a great falling away from doctrine. I personally believe that the church is as anemic as it has ever been. And the Laodicean church is clearly described in Revelation chapter 3. And I believe that Jesus says that is the church atmosphere that will be most prominent right before he comes. We'll talk about that as well. Go. So when is the book of Revelation? It's the end of the church age. And I've showed you just 8 of their hundreds of other fulfilled prophecy. Go. I believe that that is any time soon. And finally, go. Why the book of Revelation? Last stop, please. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation 9, we will end here. Revelation 9, please. Yeah, isn't God really mad and kicking chairs around and beating up on the poor humans? Well, that's one way to look at it, but let me show you this. Maybe you've not seen it in this particular light. Revelation 9, please, verse 1. This is at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. 3.5 years in, Antichrist now is now indwelt by Lucifer himself. Something very terrible happens. Chapter 9, verse 1, Revelation. And then the fifth, with your eyes, look at verse 7 of chapter 8. Notice hail and fire. With your eyes, go to verse 10 of chapter 8. A third of the angels sounded and a great star fell and all the rivers are burned up so there's nothing to drink. And then look at verse 12 of chapter 8. And then a third of the sun and the moon are darkened. So let's take a quick review. It is dark. The atmosphere is acrid and sulfuric. Look what else happens. There's nothing to drink. Everybody is parched for thirst. And now chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And to him, this is Lucifer, was given the key to the bottomless pit. For 1,000 years, all the demons in the millennial reign have been incarcerated. 1,000 years is up. God gives Lucifer the key to go open up the bottomless pit. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit. So read that. More sulfurous, acrid, choking, hacking atmosphere. It's dark. It's hot. You can't breathe. And you can't drink anything. Smoke arose out of the pit and the smoke of great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke and the pit from the pit. So it's even getting darker now. Dare I say, perhaps it's even blackness. Verse 3, and then out of the smoke locusts came. These are demons. Came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only the humans who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So the 144,000 are not going to be affected by this. Now verse 5. Now watch this. And they were not given authority to kill men. They couldn't kill them. But to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of scorpions and it, when it strikes. Now verse 6. And in those days, black, sulfurous, choking, sulfuric smoke, parched dryness, nothing to drink. And now demons are going after the humans, stinging and biting and injuring. And some of the humans have had it. I can't take anymore. Verse 6. And in those days men will seek death and will not find it. And they will desire to die, but death will flee from them. See this with me. This is the closest depiction of hell that humans will ever live in. And the demons are tormenting them. And nobody can die. There's no relief. There's no release. Why the book of Revelation? Go? Because this is God's last and greatest attempt to keep people out of hell. Are you sure you want this, humans? The book of Revelation is God taking his protection, grace, mercy, and love from the humans because he's giving them what they have always wanted, a world without him. The book of Revelation is so brutal because most of that is humans doing it to themselves. And why the book of Revelation? Because God is giving them at least 5 months of how intolerable is this? But you know what most of the humans do? They don't repent. They say rocks fall on us. This is the Lord. Let's all stand together. The book of Revelation is so horrific because it is really, in actuality, God taking his hand of protection off of the people and the planet. And it gets awful, right down to actual demons injuring people who cannot die in pitch blackness, sulfurous atmosphere, heat, and nothing to drink. That is a loving God pleading with the people. Seriously? You would prefer an eternity of this versus with me? He gives planet Earth one last hugely dramatic opportunity to get saved. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, I don't know that if anyone has really thought about it in this term, but the book of Revelation is not God mad and kicking stuff all over the earth. And you humans better get out of the way. The book of Revelation is not God gleefully chortling over the suffering of humans. Because the Bible says plainly that God hates death in all of its forms. And he wished that none should perish. The book of Revelation is God's last and best attempt to convince humans, please choose life. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name. And now everybody said, amen. Amen.